Heavenly Father, we thank you for Holy Scripture. We thank you for your word. Just want to pray for Brian as he reads it to us, and also for Kate as she unpacks it for us in a moment, that you would bless and anoint these words so that they would change our hearts. Amen.
I'm reading from James's letter, chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I don't know about you, I really love making plans. I get really, really excited about all the different things that I have coming up in the future to look forward to. And I was watching TV on New Year's Eve, and I saw this woman talking about the fact that in the last 2 years, we have not been able to make any plans. And she was talking about how the actual really good bit about the plan is the bit before the plan. So, you know, the anticipation of the holiday, driving to the airport, getting up at 4:30, going through the duty-free and finding all the free things. I like to try on many of the different perfumes on all the different bits of my body. Or when you're moving house. I love it when I move house. I went to Mexico in 2019. I went to Tequila. I took a picture of a wall and I said, when I move to Buckingham, my living room will be that color. And it is. It's so fun to make plans. And maybe over the last couple of years, as you have not been able to have things to look forward to, or not been able to bring change in your life in the way that we've been used to, maybe you have felt a bit kind of itchy, a bit kind of, oh, I'm not sure I want to be in this house anymore. I'm not sure I want this job anymore. I'm not sure about this relationship. It's really difficult at the moment. Maybe you had some sense of a need or desire for change, and you wanted to form some kind of plan. Well, this passage tonight from the letter that James had written, I almost called it the Gospel of James, which it isn't, is all about how does a Christian make plans? How does a Christian think about their future? And as you may have noticed, if you have come to any of the services where we've been preaching through James, James is a really practical book, full of kind of earthy, gritty, day-to-day, this is how a Christian should be living. And so the big question that we will be thinking about tonight is this question of how does a Christian make plans? How does a Christian who loves God and wants to live for Jesus, how do they prepare for their future? And the first thing that we see in this passage is don't be fixated on tomorrow. Don't be fixated on tomorrow. When I hear the word tomorrow, I think of Annie, little orphan Annie. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow, you're only a day away. Or Bugsy Malone, tomorrow never comes. And it's not just musicals that mention tomorrow, because there are various passages in Scripture which also talk about tomorrow. Proverbs 27 verse 1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow." Matthew 6, "Do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have enough worries of its own." And James is speaking in this passage about the danger of trying to find security for yourself for tomorrow. It's thought perhaps that he's speaking to merchant traders who are traveling around, going to this city, spending some time there, doing their business and making money. And I think that he's pointing out two things that these people were sort of fixated on, two things that these people were trying to do. They were trying to build some sense of status, to build some level of legacy of who they were by their importance in society. And that they were also trying to build enough money for tomorrow. Put enough money in the bank so that they knew that they would be secure for the rest of their lives. Which may remind you of that passage, I think it's in Luke's gospel, where he talks about the man building bigger barns. And there's this funny song from, I think it's from HDB, which just goes, "Build a bigger barn, build a bigger barn, bigger barn." And actually, what it says in that passage is, "You fool, don't you know that tomorrow your life will be taken from you?" So what is the danger in focusing on our status or focusing on our finances? The problem with it is we are building a future around ourselves. We are building a future around making a name for ourselves because we want to be remembered. I have with me something which is on my fridge, and it's the obituary of my grandfather. He died in 2014, so it's kind of moved around a bit with me. But it was in the newspaper, and for me that was really special to read the fact that my grandfather, Peter Pellerot, you know, he lived this remarkable life, and I love being remembered for it. But, you know, it doesn't mean anything to him that his obituary was in a newspaper. It's meaningless to anyone else other than his family, and I do treasure this. But it's also this danger of pursuing money, of pursuing that little bit more, that little bit more that we put aside so that we think we'll be okay. Because when we're doing that, we're building our lives around ourselves, and it can prevent us from being generous to anyone else. Generous to God, hearing when God is asking us to give to something, or being generous with our money so we aren't becoming obsessed with it, which can be such a danger. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be careful with our money. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with, if we're in a position to do so, having some kind of savings, you know, if something went wrong. But what I am saying is when we're stepping into that danger of trying to build a future around ourselves. And what greater example have we seen of how horrific it can be when someone is pursuing a name for themselves, they're pursuing a legacy and to be remembered, than what Putin is doing at the moment. We cannot be people who pursue ourselves. We cannot be people who pursue status and who pursue money. I said at the beginning that the question we have in our passage tonight is, how does a Christian make plans? Well, the answer is in this passage. James says to these people, what is your life? You are mist. And here is some mist to remind us. And mist, it's here for a moment, isn't it? This is water. And then it disappears and it is gone. And that is our life. Now, you might think that that is incredibly morbid, but I think there's a great comfort in it. Ask me at the end and I'll tell you about the time when I nearly fell in the grave. The bit where you put the coffin in. What would you call it?
The grave.
Okay, I nearly fell in the grave. But it's a really moving part of a burial when we say, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And the person from, why do I always forget words when I speak? I'm so sorry. The funeral director, thank you, this is like playing charades at the front. The funeral director has a red velvet box, and he holds it up, and you put your hand in, and it nearly always goes up your sleeve, and you say, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And I find it so moving, because it is a reminder of the fleetingness of life, of the transience of the time that we will all spend on earth. And as Will said, this week it is Ash Wednesday, and if you come to one of the ashing services, you will have a cross of an ash put on your forehead, and someone will say to you, remember, from dust you came, and to dust you will return. So what is it then that we do? How is it then that we make our plans? Well, James says, instead of building it around ourselves, we say, if it is the Lord's will, do this or do that. The title for this sermon tonight is Seize the Day, which in Latin is Carpe Diem. And you might have seen the film A Dead Poets Society, where Robin Williams gathers all the students at the pictures, and he says, and they whisper at the pictures, Carpe Diem, Carpe Diem, Carpe Diem. Seize the day. And we have an opportunity to seize the day ourselves, but not for ourselves, for God. To seize the Lord's day. And one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 90. Well, we have this reminder of the fact that we are dust. Verse 3, you turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has gone by, or like a watch in the night. We are transient. We are mist, we are dust. But while we are here, we can live for God. And we can offer our lives to him. And rather than going over here for business or going over here to make money, we can say, if it is the Lord's will, I will do this or I will do that. And James goes on to kind of go back to the people that he's challenging at the beginning of the passage. And he says, you boast and you brag, and all boasting is evil. But actually, Paul wrote to the Galatians, and he says that we can boast as long as we are boasting in the cross of our Lord. Because it is God that we can boast in. It is God that we can sing the praises of and speak of how amazing it is that even though we are these misty, dusty people who are here for such a short amount of time, he wants to use our lives for him. So how then does a Christian plan for their future? How then does a Christian think of tomorrow? Well, think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said to God, "Not my will, but yours be done." And that is what we can say to God. Not my will, God, but yours be done in my life. And we have an invitation tonight from God, from this passage, to offer our plans to God, to invite him into the decision making that we do in our lives or in our families, looking ahead, and to say, God, I want to do your will with my life. Please, will you show me what it looks like? Well, what might it look like? Of course, it might look like being called overseas to share the gospel with people in another country. I have some amazing friends called Dave and Mary, and they live in Pakistan because they felt called by God to share the gospel there. It's not been easy. Before they moved there, one of her siblings reported them to social services, so they had to go through that before they could move. My friend Dave, who is about this high and is from Scotland, was arrested by the Taliban for being an Indian spy. He is not Indian. But they're there because they think that is the Lord's will. And maybe for some of us, we might spend some time overseas in ministry for God. But that's not going to be the plan for all of us. But we are all a part of God's plan in Buckingham, in Milton Keynes, in Brackley, in Banbury, wherever it is that we live. We can be part of God's plans, and we can offer our lives to him and ask him to show us how we can use them. So how might we do that looking forward? Well, I think it's really important that we hold our plans lightly, because there's nothing wrong with thinking, oh, well, you know, maybe in a couple of years I might apply for this kind of role, or maybe I'm thinking I might go to university and I might study this, or maybe I'm thinking that, you know, when I retire I might move closer to be near my grandchildren because I might like to spend a bit of time with them. There is nothing wrong, and I'm speaking as the great planner, there is nothing wrong with having these ideas in our heads of what might happen. But we have to allow God the space to say, no, I have a different plan for you. And if we hold that lightly, then we'll be able to grieve if the life that we imagined for ourselves doesn't come. Secondly, I think that we should be sharing our plans with God. If we have an idea of what we might like to do or where we might like to go, share that with God and talk to him. And something that I find really helpful is to think to myself, who is this for? Who am I doing this thing for? Who am I building that part of my future for? Because if I'm building it for myself, then that is a sure way that actually I should probably do something different with my time. Now, there might be some of you, and I was speaking to someone this afternoon who said, it's all very well saying I want to do the plan of God, but what if God doesn't tell me what the plan is? What do I do then? And I thought that is a very good question. We are about to enter the season of Lent. So if there is something that you are unsure about or that you are waiting to kind of seek an answer from God about, why don't you commit to 40 days of praying about it? and see what happens. Obviously, I can't guarantee whether God will give you an answer, but it's a great opportunity. I love the seasons of the church, and this is a great chance to offer this season to God and to come before Him. But the other thing that you can do is you can step out a bit. And, you know, one of the passages that we've had in the book of James is about wisdom. And we have got the ability to try and make a wise decision with the kind of the knowledge that we have at the moment. But if you wanted to spend some time, you know, when people, when the band, who I will now invite to come up, which I always forget to say, when they're leading us in worship, you know, do come up later to the prayer ministry team. If there's something that you think, do you know what, God, I'm really a bit stuck about this, or I'm really prayerfully seeking God about this thing, we would love to pray with you, and we would love to spend time praying with you about this. And I wanted to end by reminding us, we are dusty, misty people who will not be around on earth forever. That's not a morbid thing to say. That's a wonderful thing to say, because we can ask God, we can stretch out our hands to Him, and we can say, Lord, establish the works of our hands. And I wanted to end by reading some verses from Psalm 90. So why don't you stand with me? And I'm going to say these as a prayer. So feel free to close your eyes, and maybe we could have some soft music. Okay, this is Psalm 90, verses 14 to 17. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen.